Doing our studies in John's first letter, and today we start at John chapter 2, verse 28, and Liam is reading for us.
Children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for he shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning, because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister.
What's eternity going to be like? Those of us who are getting older sometimes think about these things, and sometimes we even discuss it. We tend to think about it when a loved one dies. Most people think about it then, and a huge amount of rubbish is spoken about stars and angels and so on, because people need some sort of comfort, even if it's actually nonsense. But the answer is, we don't really know what it will be like. But what we do know is that if we belong to Jesus, if we have accepted him as our Savior and Lord, and through all that he has done for us on the cross, our sins have been forgiven, and we have come into a relationship with Almighty God, then when we die, we go to be with him. And we will be with him for all eternity. That is one certain thing that we know as Christians. And another certain thing that we know as Christians is that one day, Jesus is going to come back. We don't know when. Even Jesus said that was information that only God the Father knew. But he himself was quite clear that one day he would return and he would usher in the kingdom of God, a kingdom of justice and righteousness, a kingdom without corruption, decay, death, illness, sorrow, or shame. We read in the book of Revelation about a new heaven and a new earth. Now the dwelling of God is with the people, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It sounds wonderful, and it will be, but it's a bit hard to picture. Well, John tells us in this passage two things about how it's going to be when Jesus comes back. Now, the Bible teaches that when he comes back, he will come as the judge of all people. Everyone will stand before him. And I wonder if you've ever thought how you could approach the judge of all the earth. What you will say to him then. Do we think that we would maybe come to him in fear and trembling? Do we think that we would be anxious to stand before the great judge when we think about all the ways that we've messed up in our lives? Would we want to tell him how sorry we are about all the things that we've done wrong? What will we say to him then about us? John says this, "Now continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." Confident and unashamed before the judge of all the earth. That is really something. In the song that we sing, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood?" we sing, "Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own." Boldness, confidence, no shame in the presence of Jesus, the judge of all. How is that possible? Because of what he has done for us. So that's the first thing that we learn from this passage about how it will be when Jesus comes back. But what will we be like? Sometimes we wonder about that too. We look forward to having new bodies, and we wonder what they will be like. We look forward to an end of pain and sorrow, and to the prospect of joy everlasting. We wonder how we're going to know one another. Tom Wright says, "Perhaps we should say we will be like we are, only much more so, more gloriously physical, not less, embodied, but not subject to sickness or death." You know how when you see somebody who's really ill, you sometimes say that they are a shadow of their former self? I once heard someone say that what we are now is a shadow of our future self. What will we be like? That's not yet been made known, says John. God hasn't told us that. But here is what we do know. When he appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will see him. We will come face to face with the crucified, risen, glorified Saviour, the magnificent warrior, the judge of all the earth, the one who is worshipped and adored by myriads of angels, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one before whom every knee shall bow. We will come face to face with the one in whom we have put our trust, and we will be like him. Is that not amazing? We sing a Christmas carol with the line, "And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love." John says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." But that is what we are. As children of God, we will be able to approach the judge of all the earth with confidence, with no shame. "Bold I approach the eternal throne," and we will be like him. Tom Wright says, We constantly need to be reminded that there is a glorious future ahead. Of course, we also need reminding that the present too is glorious, since it is into this present world that Jesus has come to display God and the life of his new age. That already is enough to tell us how much God loves us. If Jesus is the Son of God, God's love in Jesus has made us too his children, his sons and daughters. And if that's just the start, says Tom Wright, who knows what the ultimate end will be. So how can all that be? How can we be sure that that is what we look forward to, that that is the glorious future that is ahead of us? John says that if we have a hope like that, we should make every effort in the present time to be pure in the same way that Jesus is pure. Everyone who has this hope in them purifies themselves just as he is pure. If you were going to meet someone very important, you would prepare for the meeting. Maybe going to a job interview, you would find out about the business and the people who would be interviewing you, and you would put on your best and most appropriate clothes. If you were invited to meet royalty, you would probably go shopping for new clothes. You would be told how you should address them, whether you should bow or curtsy, and how you should behave. If you're going to meet Jesus, the pure Son of God, you would want to make yourself pure. How? Well, firstly, we need to be clear about what that doesn't mean. Purify ourselves. It doesn't mean that this is something that we can achieve by our own efforts. There is so much wrong thinking around about how we need to be good enough for God to accept us. That wasn't the case for Matthew in the little video that we saw, and it's not the case for us. I'm sure you've heard many people speak as though we need to do enough good things to outweigh the bad things that we do. As though God, if these people believe in him at all, keeps a sort of heavenly account book where he records all our good deeds and all our bad deeds and adds them up at the end of our lives, that we need to try really hard to be good people. That is very definitely not what John is talking about. We cannot become good by our own efforts. Instead, John points us to Jesus. Jesus appeared, he says, so that he might take away our sin. We don't become pure by our efforts, but by his action. It's not what we do, but what he has done. And because of what he has done, we can become children of God. All we need to do is look to Jesus and put our trust in him. In the gospel that John wrote, we read, "To those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Three times in our passage today, we read about being children of God. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Now we are children of God, but what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know when he appears, we will be like him. This is how we know who the children of God are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Out of the amazingly great love that God has for us, and because of what Jesus has done for us, God has become our Father. And because we are born again as his children, we are given a new nature. We are changed on the inside. And none of that is anything that we need to do through our own efforts. So what do we need to do? We need to remain in Jesus, to continue in him, to stay close to him. The passage we looked at 2 weeks ago finished by focusing on that. We read, as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And then the very next verse, the start of our passage today, repeats that. Dear children, continue in him, so that we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. What will be the outcome of staying close to Jesus? John says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Living in Jesus, abiding in him, staying close to him, means that we become transformed characters. Now, of course, we know that we do sometimes sin. John knows that as well. Earlier in his letter, we read how, because of Jesus' death for us, even though we are still sinners, we are offered continual forgiveness for our sins. We read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We know that sometimes we sin. And when we do, God has provided a remedy through the blood of Jesus. But what John is talking about here when he says no one who lives in him keeps on sinning, he's talking about our whole habit of life, about going on sinning as the regular way in which we live. Of course, we should be doing our best. We should be making every effort not to sin. But we know that from time to time we fail. But those failures should take place within a lifestyle, within a settled way of life, where sinning is not our habit. We've already seen that John sets out a number of tests by which you can tell who is a true follower of Jesus. And we saw that one of them is the test of obedience. Earlier in chapter 2, we read, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The one who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, says John, no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Because God has given us a new nature when we were born again, because he has done a work in our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit who lives within us, because he has changed us and is changing us, sin is no longer instinctive in our lives. It's no longer our default position. It's no longer our habit. Has God finished his work in me yet? Well, no, he hasn't. Sometimes it feels there's still a way to go. One of our songs says, Jesus, you are changing me. By your Spirit, you're making me like you. Jesus, you're transforming me, that your loveliness may be seen in all I do. When we put our trust in him, we become children of God, born anew with his nature, his sons and daughters, becoming day by day more and more like his son, Jesus. Don't let anyone lead you astray. There are plenty of people around who would say that sinning is perfectly all right. Plenty of people who say that there are no absolute standards of right and wrong, that what matters is what feels right for you, that you need to be true to yourself and live your life in the way that works for you. That is not what the Bible teaches. When we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we cannot go on sinning as our habit of life, says John, because we have been born again of God. Children of God, born anew into his family, our sins forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, being changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. When he appears, we will be like him, and we will be confident and unashamed before him. Then we will cast our crowns before him, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen. I'm thinking about